Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Sefer Micha, Parak Hei, Chapter 5. I recently went to my son's Chumash play and waited until my son received his Chumash. Of course, he was last in his class with a name like Zuckerman. Teachers like to tell kids with Z names that they're last but not least. The truth is that not only is last not least, but often last is actually the goal. As Rav Shlomo Akabetz wrote in our Friday night Tefillah Lecha Dodi, Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. What is first in thought is really the end goal, like the creation of man, who is last in creation, or like Mashiach, who is last in history. Mashiach is the one who will actualize the initial goal of creation in sanctifying Hashem's name. Simply put, the end game of world history is Hiskalas Hashem La'asid Lavo, the awesome and crystal clear revelation of Hashem's glory that will take place at the time of Mashiach. During the process of history, this is achieved through the creation of a kingdom of God on earth, a just and compassionate society completely dedicated to God. The prototype of the Jewish king who achieved this goal to the greatest extent was David HaMelech. As Rav Mendel Hirsch explains, David saw himself and Malchus Beis David as bearers of the destiny of the Jewish people and of the world. He worked to actualize Hashem's plan for the world, of Na'asa Adam Kitzalmenu Kidmusenu, of creating a man in the image of God, who would reflect his godliness into the world. This job was originally entrusted to Avram Avinu, with the words Heye Bracha in Parshas Lech Lecha, to become a blessing for the world. And it was laid out for the Jewish people in the Torah, which is the roadmap for how to implement this vision. At the climax of history, this job is placed on the shoulders of the noblest descendant of the house of Avram and the house of David, which is, of course, Mashiach. In the previous parak, we saw a description of what the world will be like during Acharis Hayamim, the culmination of world history during the time of Mashiach. And the previous parak also touched on the purposeful and purifying nature of Galus. This parak will describe the leadership of the Melech HaMashiach, the Messianic King, and the safety and security it will engender, as well as the amazing spiritual clarity that will be achieved during this time. Verse 1 describes Mashiach as a descendant of David HaMelech. Va'ata beis lechem afrasa, and you beis lechem afrasa, sa'ir lihios ba'alfei Yehuda mimcha. You are too small to be among the thousands of Yehuda. Rashi explains that David HaMelech came from Beis Lechem, which is also called Ephrat, and his family should have been the least likely of the families of Shevet Yehuda to produce the kingship and Mashiach due to their descent from Rus, who was a Moaviah, a Moabite. However, despite his complex lineage, or maybe because of it, David is a model for every person in achieving lofty levels of personal and national perfection. Since on the one hand, he's such an amazing model of total dedication to Hashem, but on the other hand, he had to overcome a panorama of challenges and personal obstacles to get there. In fact, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah 4b explains that David, Shehekim Ula Shel Tshuva, that he raised the yoke of Tshuva. He serves as a role model, making it easier for people to do Tshuva and find hope for themselves in their own Tshuva process. The verse concludes, Umotza Osav Mikadami Me'olam, his origin will be from early times, from days of old. And Da Sofrim explains that this means that the messianic idea is what originates in the earliest times. In fact, it was embedded in the structure and purpose of the creation of the world that a messianic king will come at the end of human history to facilitate the perfection of the human race and the ultimate recognition of Hashem's presence. In order to get to this time, where David's descendant will rule, the Jewish people will need to go through a process prior to this redemption. As Micha says in verse 2, Lachen yitnim ad es yoleda yalada. Therefore he will deliver them until the time that a woman in childbirth gives birth. Rashi explains that this means that Hashem will deliver them into the hands of their enemies before Mashiach comes. Just like a woman in childbirth, the Jewish people will suffer in pain and shake and cry out until the time for Gula, for redemption, has come. However, ultimately, like the woman in childbirth, what will emerge from the pain is the rebirth of the Jewish nation. As the second half of the verse says, V'yeser achav yishuvon al b'nei Yisrael. Then the rest of his brothers will return with the children of Israel. And Radak says that Yasser Achav refers to the Shvatim, the tribes Yehuda and Binyamin, who comprise Malchus Yehuda, and the word Al means Im, with, and refers to the 10 lost tribes of Malchus Yisrael, who will all be reunited into one nation at that future time. This unified nation will be ruled by the Malach HaMashiach, as verse 3 explains, Va'amad v'ra'a be'oz Hashem, be'ga'on shem Hashem Elokav. He will stand up and lead like a shepherd, right, Ra'a, with the strength of Hashem, with the majesty of the name of Hashem, his God. Why does the verse say he will lead in the name of Hashem? Rav Mendel Hirsch explains that to give something a name means to describe it, and also to identify our relationship to whatever it is we're giving a name to. So leading in the name of Hashem means that we recognize Hashem, and therefore also acknowledge a relationship with Him. This recognition and acknowledgement of Hashem and His work will be so profound and universal during the time of Mashiach that Yisrael and those who follow Him will find their highest pride and joy in Avodas Hashem and Ratzon Hashem. This reality of universal recognition and joy in following Hashem is the majesty of His name, as stated in the verse. The verse continues, V'yashavu ki atah yigdal ad af se'aretz. They will dwell in peace, for He will be exalted to the ends of the earth. The power and fame of Mashiach will lead to a sense of security for the rest of the people. This is the peace referred to in verse 4, V'haya zeh shalom, and this will assure peace. Rashi explains that this peace, the sense of security and safety, will last forever, unlike the previous salvations in Jewish history, which were only temporary. If, in fact, foreign nations do try to come and attack, what will happen is, V'hakimonu alav sheva ro'im u'shmona nisichei adam. We'll set up 7 shepherds or 8 officers against them. Radak explains that 7 and 8 here just mean a lot. The Mashiach will have a lot of different people supporting him and effectively maintaining the Jewish people's security. He also quotes Chazal, who lists specific names of people here as the 7 shepherds and 8 officers. Now, what will these leaders of the Jewish people do? They will ensure the safety and security of the Jewish people, protecting them effectively from their enemies. In addition to safety and security, the next 3 verses describe a certain level of independence and self-sufficiency that the Jewish people will experience during this time, including for those Jews who remain among the non-Jewish nations. V'haya she'eris Yaakov bekerav amim rabim, the remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples, ketal me'es Hashem kirvivim ali esav, like dew from Hashem, like rain showers on the grass, asher lo yikavel ish v'lo yechel levnei adam, that don't wait for man, nor wait for the sons of men. The Jews who are left among the non-Jewish nations will be like tal, like dew. Just like dew and rain are not dependent on man, the Jews who are still among the nations will not need anything from the nations around them. Meaning that they'll be self-sufficient, economically, politically, militarily. They'll only rely on Hashem. That will be completely sufficient for them. Not only will they be self-sufficient, not needing the nations, but they'll be a source of blessing for the nations, just like the dew and rain are natural blessings. As Mendel Hirsch explains, they will transform the desert of humanity into a place of blossoming beauty and flourishing prosperity. That selfish and self-destructive society, which we discussed in Perek Aleph, instead it will be a strong, whole, and purposeful society, to the extent that its blessing spills over onto the rest of humanity, which in turn will be receptive to and rejuvenated by its truths. Until this point in the parak, Micha has been describing the realities of life leading up to the peaceful messianic era: security, peace, self-sufficiency. The next few verses don't seem to fit with the earlier part of the parak. Verse 9 says, I will eliminate your horses from your midst, and I will destroy your chariots. Verse 10 says, V'hichrati arei artzecha, v'harasti kol mibtzarecha. I will eliminate the walled cities from your land, and I will tear down all of your fortifications. And the subsequent verses go on to describe the elimination of witches and soothsayers, idols and monuments, and the Asherah tree, using the word v'hichrati over and over. I will eliminate. The last verse wraps up the parak with a promise to wreak vengeance on the nations who did not listen to Hashem. Now, looking at the above verses with their long list of things Hashem will eliminate, it very much seems like a description of destruction. However, Rashi and Radak explain that instead of destruction, these verses are actually continuing with that theme of self-sufficiency. These verses are describing both an external military self-sufficiency and an internal spiritual self-sufficiency. Militarily, the Jewish people won't need horses to ensure their safety, which in modern terms might mean that we won't need tanks, bombs, aircraft carriers. Rashi explains that horses signify military reliance on Egypt. So in addition to not needing military means to ensure our protection, we also won't feel the need to rely on outside nations to protect us. Not feeling the need to rely on other nations is essentially a strong sense of bitachon, a calm and clear reliance on Hashem for all of our needs, which is really a type of spiritual self-sufficiency. Now, this will extend as well to other types of misguided spiritual crutches, and the people will feel sufficiently trusting in Hashem that they won't turn to destructive and illusory sources of support like idolatry, witchcraft, soothsayers. They will have complete and total clarity that they can rely on Hashem for all of their needs. So instead of describing destruction, these verses can be understood as describing a removal of the barriers that stand in the way of our trust and reliance on Hashem. Radak explains that the word vehichrati, I will eliminate, which is repeated over and over regarding each of the subjects mentioned in the above verses, is really referring symbolically to something else that will be eliminated. And that is your heart of stone. As he says, sheyasir lev ha'eben mibesarchem, he's paraphrasing Yecheskel 36:26, v'hasirusi es lev ha'eben mibesarchem, v'nasati lachem lev basar. I will take away your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. As Radak explains there in Yecheskel, a lev basar, a heart of flesh, is a lev rach v'nachon lekabel hatov, a soft and correct heart which can receive the good. So it seems that there will be this amazing and calming level of clarity, like a veil that's lifted from our eyes, where we realize we don't need anything else other than our trust in Hashem. In fact, Rav Eliezer Mibalgensi connects this higher spiritual reality, this increased clarity, to David HaMelech, with whom we began our parak. When David does tshuva, as described in chapter 51 of Tehillim, he asks Hashem to give him a pure heart, lev tahar bereli Elokim. In his sincere feelings of regret for causing a desecration of Hashem's name, and his authentic desire to return to closeness and connection with Hashem, he begs Hashem to help him achieve this. This is like the lev basar, the receptive heart of flesh, that Yecheskel tells us that Hashem will give us in the time of Mashiach, and that Micha describes as a removal of what blocks us from trusting in Hashem. May we all be able to put ourselves in that place of authentic longing for closeness to Hashem, of wanting that time when we'll have so much clarity. And may that longing itself be a merit for it to come to be very, very soon. Thank you for sending together Le'ilo Nishma, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Saud.